Dear friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word spirit means many different things in the English language. It can be used to refer to some kind of supernatural being, such as the different spirits that come to visit Ebenezer Scrooge in A Christmas Carol. Spirit can be used to describe the demeanor of an individual or even a group of people. So if someone is particularly feisty or determined, we might say, well, she really has spirit, doesn't she? Or if there's a group of people that's really excited about their team, we might say they really have team spirit. The word spirit is also sometimes used to refer to alcoholic beverages, which I find very interesting. It's said that this goes all the way back to Aristotle, who drank some distilled liquids and felt that he had a different spirit about him when he did so. On Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. So I think it behooves us to understand what the church means when we talk about the Spirit. We talk about the Spirit in the invocation that begins the service. We talk about the Spirit in the prayers of the church and in the benediction. We say we believe in the Holy Spirit when we confess together the creed. Certainly on Pentecost Sunday, we sing an awful lot about the Spirit. So what do we mean when we talk about the Spirit? What kind of Spirit are we talking about? Well, the best place to turn to understand what this Spirit is all about, of course, is to Scripture. In our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus promises the disciples that he will send them the Spirit. He has just told them that he will be leaving them soon, and they're struggling with this news. And so Jesus gives them a promise. He says, "After I'm gone, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will be with you forever." So Jesus describes the Spirit as the advocate. This word advocate in Greek is paraclete, and it's really difficult to translate this word paraclete into English. So a lot of different Bibles use a lot of different words. Some Bibles have the word comforter there instead of advocate. Some have the word helper or counselor. Our reading for today says advocate, which is, of course, is someone who comes alongside another and sees to their best interests. All of these words, comforter, helper, counselor, advocate, to translate the word paraclete, they all help us understand just what kind of spirit Jesus is promising to his people. This is a spirit that comes to bring comfort. It's a spirit that comes to bring help. It's a spirit that comes alongside us to uphold us and support us. This spirit will be with you, Jesus says. So the spirit is a presence. It's a presence that is with God's people now and will be forever, Jesus says. Jesus goes on to say that this Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. This Spirit has a message. This Spirit has a word to bring. This Spirit comes bearing truth. This Spirit brings the truth of God's will, as expressed in the commandments. This Spirit comes bringing the truth of God's salvation given to us in Christ Jesus. The world will not receive this truth, this Spirit, Jesus says. The world will not know this Spirit, but God's people will. Because, Jesus says, he will abide with you, and he will be in you. Well, this Spirit that Jesus promises makes a grand entrance on Pentecost as the disciples are celebrating Pentecost. They're already celebrating Pentecost because, you see, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, before it was a Christian festival celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit, it was already a Jewish festival. Celebrated 50 days after Passover, it was a first fruits festival, kind of a harvest fest. It was the Jewish version of Thanksgiving. And so all kinds of people had come back to Jerusalem, these diaspora Jews, they're called, these Jews who had moved away to different countries, to different lands. They came home for this Thanksgiving of Passover, right? Just like people do today, one of the busiest travel times of the year is Thanksgiving in our own country. So all these people had come home for Thanksgiving along with a bunch of proselytes or converts to Judaism. They came back to visit the temple and make their offerings. That's how they celebrated the Jewish Thanksgiving. And whether they were proselytes or whether they were these diaspora Jews, they spoke different languages. They spoke the languages that they had come to know in the lands where they now lived. This is the setting in which the Holy Spirit came. Suddenly there was the sound of a rush of violent wind. The disciples were given tongues of fire, it says. These were not mystical languages that they were speaking. These were actual earthly languages. They were the languages of the people that were there. And so the visitors heard this sound of this rush of violent wind, and they gathered around the disciples. And so the disciples used those tongues of fire to preach to them, to proclaim the word to them, to witness to them of God's deeds of power. And as they spoke, everybody heard somehow in their own native language. This is like those meetings you sometimes see on C-SPAN or something, those meetings at the UN in New York. There's people from all over the world, and they're speaking to each other in their own tongues, but they all have the headphones on, so it's being translated in real time as they're talking to one another, right? It's like that, only there's no headphones. This is like Google Translate on your smartphone, which will instantaneously translate stuff for you, but no Google, no smartphone. It's all just happening. The Spirit of Truth showed up in a big way. In order to reach these Jewish people who spoke all these different languages, God did a great miracle. It was a miracle of speaking as the disciples spoke and people heard in their own native tongue. It was a miracle of speaking and hearing as the word was proclaimed and heard. And all were amazed as this happened. All were astonished. Only not all of them. Not everybody. Some people sneered. Some people mocked the disciples. Some people taunted them. Some thought that they were filled with that other kind of spirit, right? That they'd dipped into the Thanksgiving wine a little bit early. That's what some people thought. Remember, Jesus said that the world would not receive this spirit. The world would not know this spirit. And that's what's happening. But Peter says to those who are mocking them, "We are not drunk. That's not what's going on here. It's only 9 a.m. One wonders what Peter's argument would have been if it was 9 p.m. But Peter goes on to say, it's not what you're thinking. This is what Joel talked about. This is what Joel prophesied about, that God's Spirit is being poured out on all people, young and old, men and women, slave and free, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. In this amazing account we hear in the book of Acts, this tells us even more about what the Spirit is and what the Spirit does. For all the pyrotechnics of this story, the miracle that happens is really quite simple. The work of the Spirit is really quite simple. The Spirit gathers people together around the Word. The Spirit is at work through speaking and through hearing, so that the entire world can hear of God's great deeds of power. The Spirit is at work to stir people's hearts to the faith that saves. Well, now, with these biblical insights in front of us as to what the Spirit is and what the Spirit does, can you begin to see how the Spirit is at work yet today in the church? Can you see how the Spirit is at work today in our congregation or in your own life? Because I sure can. I see again and again how the Spirit works as a comforter, as a helper. We have people in our congregation sitting in the sanctuary here this morning who bring such hurts with them Sunday after Sunday. People who are dealing with their own health problems, people who are dealing with sick children, people who are dealing with aging or dying parents, people who are dealing with all kinds of different stresses. And as you gather here week after week, that Spirit shows up with a word for you. The word from God for you, a word that gives you strength and peace and hope. I see it again and again. People come here week after week carrying burdens of guilt and shame, and that's maybe harder for you to see. But I had a professor once in seminary, he said, when you stay in a congregation, when you stay in a faith community long enough, then you'll start to know people's backstories. Then people will trust you enough to tell you what's really going on in their lives. And then you'll understand why confession and forgiveness is so very important. I know the guilt and the shame that's brought into this room week after week, and I see how the Spirit is at work through the Word to set you free, to help you let go of that past and step into a new life. There are people who come into the sanctuary week after week who are grieving the loss of loved ones. And they come up to this altar for communion, wishing that that person that used to be beside them was still there. And I see how the Spirit is at work when the veil is so very thin. And through bread and wine, you're given a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. And you step away in peace. I see how the Holy Spirit is at work through our Stephen ministers who literally come alongside people in their times of brokenness and need. Just yesterday in the service for Oscar Bakke, I saw the Spirit at work as a couple of our members were watching and they saw that Lori, it looked like she was going to be sitting up here in her pew front right by herself. And he said, we can't let that happen. And so they literally made sure that they came alongside her so that she was not alone on one of the most painful days of her life. The Spirit is at work among us as a comforter and as a counselor and as a helper. The Spirit of truth, the Spirit of truth is at work among us as well. As we are called away from the lies that we are told by our culture and by our world, and we begin to conform our lives instead to God's word, to God's commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We don't do that perfectly, to be sure, but as we grow in our love for Jesus, we grow in our striving to live according to his word. I see this Spirit of truth among us as we hear the good news of Christ's love and mercy and begin to push away the lies that we tell ourselves about how supposedly unlovable we are. I see the Spirit at work as we begin to claim our identity as forgiven and beloved children of God. I see the Spirit at work in the missionaries we support. Nick and Shannon, I've been thinking about especially in Peru. Spanish isn't their native tongue, but they've learned it well enough to preach down there in Peru in Spanish. And not only that, but recently they've been taking interpreters with them up into these villages, these remote villages where people speak these rare dialects. They've been taking interpreters along with them so that they might share the good news of Jesus with these people way back in these remote villages. The Spirit is at work. I see the Spirit at work in our own congregation. As we welcome and love people whose primary language is something other than English. We love you, Moiko. We love you, Zakimi family. Te amamo muchísimo, Amelda. The Spirit is at work through speaking and hearing, even across language barriers. The Spirit is at work as we gather here today, week after week, around the Word. It's at work through speaking and hearing. It's at work to stir our hearts to the faith that saves. I've seen the Spirit at work in the lives of our confirmation students. This is the hardest part for me to get through. I've had the privilege of watching Joe and Natalie grow up here over these last several years. I've had the privilege of being their teacher in confirmation class for the last 2 years. And I've seen how the Spirit has been at work among them to have their faith grow and mature over time. I've seen the Spirit of truth among them as they have heard God's truth for their lives, both God's commandments, as we studied this year, and even more so in the gospel of Christ. I've seen the Spirit stir the hearts of these two wonderful people to service in our congregation, whether that's serving as acolytes or seeing Natalie perched up there on the organ bench playing a beautiful offertory as she's done for us a couple of times. Or I remember last time it was so snowy and icy, Joe was out there bringing in elderly people, making sure they could get into the building okay. I've seen them both dripping with sweat on some of our church cleanup days as they've come in here and gotten their hands dirty cleaning up our property. God has given them a heart for service. The Spirit's been at work, stirring them to all of that. I've seen the Spirit at work in these two, teaching them to pray. They become such eager and sincere and comfortable people with prayer. We close our confirmation classes with prayer, and they don't hesitate to share what's on their heart and mind, to speak to God as though speaking to a father. The lives of these two haven't always been easy. They're not always easy now. But Joe and Natalie know the Spirit. They know the Spirit more than they probably realize here today. They know the Spirit because Jesus has promised that the Spirit abides with them and is in them. All of this is what we mean when we talk about the Spirit here at church. It is a presence. It is God's presence with us. It is a presence that is at work among us through speaking and hearing. It is a Spirit that gives us comfort. It is a Spirit that leads us into God's truth. It is a Spirit that stirs our hearts to faith and trust. You know this Spirit because He abides in you as well. The Spirit of Christ has come into your ears this very morning as you have been listening to the Word. And so this Spirit is in you, just as Jesus promised. Thanks be to God. I invite you to stand as you're able as we sing.